Welcome to the Geek Speak Podcast, where we lift the curtain on the world of community banking. I'm your host, Lincoln Parks, and I'm here to tell you there's a lot more to your local bank than meets the eye. For years, I was on the inside as marketing director and chief innovation officer at a community bank. Yes, I saw the spreadsheets, the loan files, but most importantly, I saw the stories. Stories of dreams funded, businesses built, lives changed, all thanks to the power of local banking. This podcast is about peeling back those layers, having honest conversation with the minds behind it all, the bank presidents, the fintech visionaries, and the folks who are shaking up things from the main street to the digital frontier. We'll be pulling up a chair right next to them, asking the questions you might be wondering. The real deal on community banking. What makes it tick? What are its challenges and why you should care? The Geek Speak Podcast isn't just about numbers and algorithms. It's about the heart and soul of community banking, the relationships, the trust, and the shared prosperity. It's about how these local heroes are building a brighter future one small town at a time. So whether you're a business owner, a homeowner, or simply curious about the world of finance, grab your headphones, get comfy, and join us on this journey. Because on the Geek Speak Podcast, we're not just talking about banking. We're talking about building a better future together. Hey guys, I want to welcome you to the Geek Speak Podcast today. I'm so excited because I have a longtime friend on with me, Mr. Lon Langston from Engage Banker Experience. Lon, thanks for joining me on the Geek Speak Podcast.
Yeah, glad to be here, Lincoln. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. So, Lon, I know we've known each other for, you know, quite some time, some years. And, you know, I know over that period of time, we've worked together at a community bank. And, you know, we both had businesses, and I've learned a lot from you. I've learned so much from you when it comes to motivation, intrinsic motivation, extrinsic motivation. We're going to talk about that. But, you know, what I want you to share with folks is just a little bit about yourself and your background, and then we'll jump into, you know, your business.
Yeah, sure. So I'm not a banker. I've never been a banker, and I don't even want to be a banker. I got into banking kind of in a strange way. So I actually was in the wholesale produce business for 26 years, but the whole time, and looking back, I can see, like, ever since I was like 12 years old, I've kind of wanted to do exactly what I'm doing now. And what we now call it executive coaching, but that wasn't even probably a phrase back then. But I was not really in a position to do that for a long time. And so I ended up in the produce business. And I say there's only two ways to get in it. Like, either your family's in it or really bad luck. And my family was in it.
Yeah.
And the reason I say bad luck is because you're selling perishable products. So there's a huge amount of time pressure and sense of urgency. Yeah. And you've got hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of inventory that's necessarily going bad every minute it sits in your coolers. It's a lot of stress in that industry. But I also think that helps me now because I have that sense of urgency kind of built in from all those years in the produce business. And so I worked originally for my family's business, and then we sold that to a very large company called Agway. I worked for Agway for 6.5 years. And then I decided to start my own produce company because I've always had this entrepreneurial thing. And so I started my own produce company and grew it to a pretty significant size, and then sold it successfully after 11 years. And the whole time, like I said, I've got this idea in my head that what I really want to do is help other people be better at their businesses as opposed to running a business myself. Yeah. And so I sold that company, the produce company, in order to do that full time, in order to do executive coaching and corporate training full time, but kind of with a very specific bent And that is because I'm super logical. My wife and I are Star Trek fans. And if you like Star Trek, you know that there's Captain Kirk who's like emotional, and then there's Spock, Mr. Spock, who is logical. I'm Spock. I'm totally logical. And so it's like, I need to apply logic to whatever I do. And so I learned about this thing called behavioral economics. And then later it became behavioral science once the kind of the neurology caught up with the psychology. And because of functional magnetic resonance imaging, by the way, where we could see the brain working in real time. And so I studied behavioral economics and then behavioral science, because I wanted some empirical, data-based, evidence-based, rigorous kind of data interventions or solutions for people's issues at work. Mm. And I'm not interested in like being any kind of counselor. What I want to do is help people be better at work. I mean, it's kind of very specific. And then I ended up in banking, because one of my first clients when I launched this business after selling the produce company was the CEO of a community bank. Mm-hmm. And, your friend and mine, and that's how you and I ended up working together. And so I just did more and more for that bank until the point where he said, why don't you just come work for us? Which I did. And so then I began to mold what I was doing with the behavioral science coaching and training to banking, because I was seeing the inside and understanding the inside of the banking, and ended up being chief people officer of a larger bank after a 3-bank merger, and then got another insight into, okay, now I see how the executives at the bank think, and I understand how the rank and file people think, and what are the specific issues that bankers deal with. And by the way, it's like 80% of what every business person deals with. But there is some differentiation in the last 20%, which I then understood from doing that. And so with everyone's blessing there, I left and started Engage Banker Experience. Again, being entrepreneurial and wanting to do something on my own. So Engage Banker Experience is just taking all that behavioral science knowledge and the banking specificity and offering it to other banks.
It is so rare, Lon, that people actually are working in their strength areas or their passion areas. There are a ton of people right now that are on jobs that, and this could be anywhere. I know we're specifically in the banking. We're talking about the banking sector, but I mean, everywhere there are people that are miserable. I mean, they're coming to work. They're miserable. They can be, I think some of that can change based on maybe their surroundings or what's going on. You know, how do you, like in the banking space, if a community bank calls you and they're like, hey, Lon, we want you to come in, morale may be low with our, employees. It may be even low in the it most likely it is, and in the executive ranking, but a lot of people, feel like maybe they aren't open to talk about that or talk with someone. How do you like engage, no pun intended, but how do you jump in there with banks and really get started and unravel all of the stuff that's happening inside?
So the first thing is I ask each person who I'm going to meet with to tell me their life story. Mm-hmm. And so what I like to do is have individual executive coaching sessions with the leadership team, one individually, not together. Right. And that's the beginning always, because I need to understand how that leadership team thinks and feels before I interact with everybody else in the bank. Right. And if there's issues there, we need to work through those issues first also. But so I start with the CEO and the EVPs or whomever's on the executive team and do individual coaching with them. And it begins with just tell me your life story. And I don't want people to feel as if they have to tell me things they don't want to tell me or reveal things. No. You tell me exactly what you want me to hear. Yeah. About your life story. And people are very candid, actually. But I need to know that, because it informs how people think. Their past informs how they think today, right?
Right.
And so that's how we always start. Now, I also want to say another thing, that before I started working for the community bank where you and I met each other, I had several different clients in several different industries. I had several clients in the produce industry because that's where I came from, several clients who own trucking companies, several clients who were in the water industry, oddly. I worked with five different water authorities around the state of Georgia, and a CPA and a car dealer and a paint contractor and all different people. So yeah. Then I became very focused on banking, but now it's kind of expanding back out again, where I do focus on banking primarily with Engage Banker Experience, but I now also have clients that are not bankers again. Yeah. And so I'm, and like I said, there, like 80% of it, is the same, right?
Right. Right. Yeah.
So the behavioral science works for everybody in business, no matter whether you're in banking or some other business. So.
You know, I was gonna ask you. You sort of answered that question for me, because when you said you go into a bank and you start, you know, you just ask people about their life story and they start telling you, how do you even know if they're telling you the truth? I mean, how do you decipher? People could be making things up just because, oh, we have a consultant in, you know, he's coming and he's going to talk to us, and they may make this up. So how do you determine over time, like, okay, yeah, is this individual really telling me the truth, or how, like, digging into to really resolving issues and problems?
This is a strange answer, but it almost doesn't even matter.
Wow. Really, okay.
What they say is important to me because it helps me understand them. Whether it's what, you know, if they're, and I don't know of any instance where anybody lied. I mean, right, people may leave out stuff, and everybody has their own perspective, obviously. Right. And you may hear a story from two different sides, and it's like, wow, that sounds like a completely different side of the story, a completely different story, not a completely different side. But in fact, it's just that each person has their own perspective. Mm. That's one of the cool things about this behavioral science thing is, there's a lot of research by Lisa Feldman Barrett and some other research by David Eagleman. And both of them say the same thing, which is that your brain is locked inside your skull and it's dark and quiet in there. And right, so your brain doesn't actually interact with the world. It just receives signals from your senses, your eyes and your ears and your nose. And Lisa Feldman Barrett says it receives signals from your body too, but then your brain has to interpret those signals. Right. And so that's your perception, and everybody's perception is different. And it's impossible for us to know completely what the other person is thinking. So you may hear somebody tell the same story from two different perspectives, and it sounds like two different things. Right. But in fact, it's probably just the way they are understanding it. And so finding that common ground, that middle ground, to help people move forward is part of what I do. And so, yeah, if I work with several people in an organization, it's very helpful, because then I like see an overview. It's like a satellite view. I can see, right, how the puzzle pieces fit together in ways that they don't even see. Right.
That's right. Because, yeah, right.
Well, one, because I can see everybody's perspective, but secondly, because I'm objective, I'm outside the organization.
Yeah.
And there's one other thing about this, and you know about the cone of confidentiality. I have this little orange toy traffic cone that I take to all my one-on-one meetings, and I say, you know, this is the cone of confidentiality. Anything you say to me is 100% confidential, and that is a very strict rule. I never repeat anything anybody says. But what I've been surprised at is not that they how little they say; it's how much they say.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, dang, man, I don't think I said that.
I'll never repeat this again.
But so maybe one of the reasons this works is people do trust me. That I don't have many talents, really. Actually, I don't. But right, that people trust me is one of them. And so, and I never betray that. I make sure that I have integrity about that. And so, you know, what's interesting too, Lincoln, is that people will tell me something, and then they'll wait to see if it comes back around because I told somebody. And I've had several people say, "Wow, you really didn't tell anybody." Right. I didn't.
Right. Right. I'm a man of my word. So, yeah. So that's what I wanted to ask you also. So with you, I mean, you're going into banks, you're talking to executives, you're talking to, you know, some of the people, you know, the employees in the bank, and you're kind of meshing this all together. Like, and at the beginning, I talked a little bit about intrinsic motivation and extrinsic motivation. I have a hard time saying that word sometimes, but you know, where does that come in? Like what part, and that's something that I learned from you working with you for so many years, you know, where does that come in? And can you just explain that a little bit so people understand what that is?
Yeah, it's huge. It's fundamental. It's like one of the foundational principles of what I do. So I took all of the behavioral science research over, you know, decades and tried to figure out what are the human motivators? What have all the best research studies found, and where is their overlap, and where is their differences, and what's the reconciliation between the differences? And so I've identified 11 different motivators, and it has to do, you start with Maslow's hierarchy, and then you add self-efficacy theory, and then you add self-determination theory, and then you add Angela Duckworth's work and Katie Milkman's work and Martin Seligman's work and Kahneman and Tversky from behavioral economics. And so anyway, it's 16 or 17 different seminal studies that rigorous, replicated, you know, that have held over years and years and decades. And then where's the overlap and how do they fit together? And I came up with what I call the motivation stack, which is 11 different things. And so the interesting new revelation about extrinsic versus intrinsic is that every extrinsic actually leads to an intrinsic. So extrinsic is external. Right. Extrinsic is either I paid you to do it or I told you to do it. It's external, right?
Yeah.
So it's carrot and stick. I'm going to either reward you or punish you for doing or not doing what we the organization want you to do. Right. And then intrinsic is internal. That's what motivates you. What you would do even if nobody told you to, or what you do and you have total freedom, right?
Right.
And so, I think the extrinsic always ties back to one of the intrinsic motivators. And so a lot of what I do is try to identify the underlying intrinsic motivator for someone's behavior, right? I mean, is it a recognition and respect is one of them. And so, you know, and is it that person doesn't feel like their work is being recognized, or is it that they don't feel like they're being respected, or so if you move up the stack, it's creativity and curiosity. Does a person have the opportunity to express their creativity? Right. And creativity is not just art and music and literature. Creativity can be, a new way of thinking, or a new office design, or a new piece of software, or even just a cool spreadsheet, you know, and then does a person have the opportunity to pursue their curiosity? What is he or she naturally curious about? Right. So that intrinsic is a natural, innate kind of thing. And man, people are so incredibly motivated to pursue their own curiosity. So if you can, as the leader of the organization, somehow craft the job so that a person can pursue their own curiosity and express their own creativity and have some autonomy about how to do that, they will run through a wall for you. Right? I mean, so intrinsic motivation is... It's much more powerful than extrinsic, but I don't think that tells the whole story. The whole story is extrinsic always ties back to one of the intrinsic motivators.
Look, I think this, what you are explaining here, a lot of companies need to tap into. And look, not because, you know, we're friends and, you know, we've talked. You have helped me, you know, identify my intrinsic motivators and some of the things that, you know, where I wanted to go and what I wanted to do when I was at the bank, and now helping me now that I'm not at the bank. So, but I wanted to flip the conversation a little bit, and ask you, you know, maybe some things, you know, about Lon that nobody really knows about. So, let me ask you, Do you have any hidden talents or anything like that that people may not know about Lon Langston?
So I feel like I'm an alien on this planet, and all the talents that humans have, I don't have. I have absolutely no musical ability. Today, yeah. I was on the phone with a client, and the song lyrics came to my mind, and that song lyrics fit the situation perfectly. And that happens to me a lot, by the way. But I can't sing a note, so I could say the words. Oh, here's the song lyrics, but it just doesn't have the same impact if I could sing, right? I have no musical ability. Can't sing. Can't play an instrument. No athletic ability. I have no artistic ability. You know. Oh, man. I can't paint or draw or do any of that. And I have family members who have all these things. I don't have any of them. So sometimes I say it's like Superman in reverse. You know, Superman came to Earth and the talents and abilities he had on his home planet were amplified here. Like I came to Earth and I it's the opposite. I got no talents, gifts, or abilities. I tried to figure out how to craft and cobble together a life without them.
I'll tell you one thing. You are, you are the master motivator. You are, and from an intrinsic standpoint, what I think your talent is, let me share with you what I think your talent is. Your talent is really getting to know people and really making people feel comfortable and being vulnerable, having them be vulnerable to be able to share with you. You have that kind of calming, embodiment about yourself that you, like you said, and it's rare that people are in the space where they really feel they've been blessed to be in, you know, because like I said, there's so many people that are not in, and but you are in the perfect spot because you're an expert at what you do. So any of the community banks or any banks or businesses that are watching this or watch this in the future or listen to it on any podcast, reach out to Lon. Now, I'm not just saying that because Lon and I are friends, but you will be, your business will blossom. I'm not going to say you're going to make, millions and millions of dollars, but you're going to be a better person. Your employees are going to be better people. And I think all around, it just makes for a better work environment if you're working with Lon Langston. That's your talent, Lon.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate you saying that, Lincoln. And you know, the seriousness about the having no talents, gifts, or abilities is that because I had to build this life from scratch, I know how to do it. Yeah. And also I understand that people may, I understand that people's shortcomings and how to overcome those because I overcame them. So that's the serious part of this. And, the other thing is my intrinsic motivation is a curiosity about people. So that fits into this very easily for me.
Yeah. Yeah. So Lon, in wrapping up, I want you to share with everyone, where can they find out more information? Where can they contact you? If someone's ready to just, reach out and just say, hey, Lon, we want to talk to you, want to bring you in. How do they get in contact with you?
Okay, so there's a couple of ways. The most direct way is you can just email me at lon.langston@engagedbankerexperience.com. And that email does come directly to me. I will see it and answer you directly. EngageBankerExperience.com website. You can get more information there. There's a contact page there. You can contact me that way, but you can also learn a lot more. And by the way, all the research attribution. So everybody whose research I use is on that website and you can look at it.
Wow.
Another way is I'm also doing a podcast and a video podcast similar to this one on YouTube. So it's called Bite Size Behavioral Science. You can find Bite Size Behavioral Science on either YouTube or any of the podcast platforms. And so that's another way. Awesome. And I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn all the time. Connect with me on LinkedIn. So that's a good one.
Awesome. Hey, go out there, connect with Lon. Lon, I'm going to tune into the podcast. You know, I know you're it's good listening. You know, I can't watch you while I'm driving, but you know, it's good listening. And you know, I'll be interested to see the next one that comes out. Cool. So Lon, thank you for being on the Geek Speak podcast. Truly had a great conversation. There's so much more. I could talk to you for hours and hours and hours. You know, we could go on and on and on.
I feel the same way. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I feel kind of cheated that, you know, we have to end at this point. However, you know, I'm going to have you back on again, Lon. You're a great guest. I really enjoy just talking to you and learning from you. So thanks for being on.
Lincoln, I always enjoy our conversations. Thank you for inviting me, and I truly appreciate your friendship.
Same here, Lon. Thanks.
So, Lincoln, I think whenever we speak about community banks, all the CEOs and everybody are thinking about how do we compete with the big banks, mm-hmm. right? The big banks are everywhere. They have bigger budgets. They, of course, use expensive products, and they're spending millions in ads. You see on Instagram, you see on Google, you see everywhere, right? Right. So as a community bank and as Lincoln James, helping a community bank market it better, how do you basically reduce the gap?
Yeah, so I'm glad you asked that question, because when we...